What an honour and a privilege falls to me on this special weekend here in the United States. Is it really Mother's Day tomorrow? You know, in England, they celebrate it and they link it to the Easter calendar. And so Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day is always the fourth week of Lent. And so Mother's Day in the UK has gone and passed. 2 months ago, it was March the 18th this year, so I'm off the hook as far as that goes, but I'm on the hook for tomorrow, aren't I, for my own wife, Cheryl. So it really is an honor for me to be able to, really this morning, just pay tribute to the remarkable gift that God has given to us through women and through mothers in particular. So There's a Jewish proverb that says God couldn't be everywhere, so that's why he created mothers. I'm not sure about the theology of that statement, but there's something in that, isn't there? The heart of a mother. Mothers. What a gift to us they are, created by God to bless us indeed. You may have noticed that my sermon title is a little bit ambiguous. That was done on purpose. The blessing of mothers. It doesn't say, does it, whether we are here this morning to bless mothers or whether we receive the blessing from mothers. Are mothers the source of blessing or the recipients of blessing? Well, of course, that's a duh question, isn't it? Because, of course, it's both. And so the title of the sermon is The Blessing of Mothers. It is ambiguous and includes both ideas. I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but every time I come to the pulpit to speak, I just think about Jesus. And we have some wonderful snapshot texts here from the Gospels on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke 19:48. All the people were hanging on to every word that he said. And John 7:46. It was from the temple guards who were sent to arrest him. After listening, they said, "No one ever spoke the way this man does." And back to Luke's gospel again here, Luke 4:22. Tells us everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. I wonder who it was who taught the child Jesus to speak like that. Where did he get it from? Could it be that he first learnt it from his mother? Remember this promise? It's a beautiful one, isn't it? It's Jesus' promise to us again this morning. And Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth," what's the promise? "He will draw all people to himself." And so we're all included in that this morning. Mothers, fathers, kids, and young people. Please bow your heads with me as we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here again this morning to honor your special gifts to us, creation of motherhood and mothers. And we're just amazed, we're in awe, and we thank you for the gift of mothers. We pray this morning as we remember them, as we honor them, and as we appreciate them, that this is our opportunity 365 days of the year and not just on this weekend. So bless each person here, each mother, each grandmother, each great-grandmother, each mother-to-be, and the fathers as well, and the kids, and our young people. We want a intergenerational blessing this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I realized this morning that as I speak to you, that many of your mothers may have already passed away. And so I know that this weekend may bring to the service some painful memories for some who feel the loss of their loved one, of their own mother. And some of you may not have had an ideal start in life. Who really does? Perhaps you were mistreated, neglected, or abused. Perhaps you were adopted or fostered or forgotten. Please remember, this is a broken and rebellious planet, full of broken, hard-hearted people, broken fathers, and broken mothers also. And I'm sorry for the pain that this may have caused you. But God knows and God understands exactly where you came from. And He understands exactly what you have been through. He loves us all so very much. Remember that Jesus Himself said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible itself acknowledges this painful reality as David penned these words in Psalm 27, verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And the prophet Isaiah as well in these words recognized this disturbing reality when he posed the poignant question that we find here in this text. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Surely our human instinct is to say, no way, surely that can't be. But the Bible tells us, though she may forget, what does God say? I will not forget you. So the answer is unfortunately yes, but hallelujah, God remembers us. The following verse says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. We all sit here this morning as those who are engraved on the nail-scarred hands of our Savior. Well, this weekend, of course, provides us with a special opportunity to honor, to remember, and to appreciate our mothers. And I think we should take that opportunity. What do you say? Why should we do that? Because truly honoring mothers was and still is God's idea. Every day can be a Mother's Day if we so choose. Did you know that the initial idea for a public recognition of mothers originally began with the prayer of a mother? And you can see her picture here on the left. This is Anne Marie Jarvis. And did you know that the successful campaign to establish a Mother's Day here in the United States was championed by someone who actually never became a mother? And that's the picture we have on the right there. That's Anna Jarvis, Anne Marie's daughter. And did you also know that Anna's campaign was enthusiastically supported and promoted by this man? His name was John Wanamaker, and he was a very wealthy Philadelphia merchant. If you want to, you can read all about the history of Mother's Day at this website here, www.mothersdaycelebration.com. But long before the campaign of Anna Jarvis in 1908 to establish a public holiday in recognition of mothers, And long before President Woodrow Wilson officially made every second Sunday in May in the United States a national holiday in 1914, God Himself wrote these words with His own finger. Honor your father and your mother. This is, of course, the fifth commandment from God's holy law. And the New Testament restates these words in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church there, repeats these words, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life here on the earth. To honor someone means to value them, to respect them, to revere them. To honor someone means to show a high regard for someone. So let us take this opportunity to honor and appreciate our mothers, those women who love and care for others. So kids and young people, shh. Do you want to know a secret? Do you want me to tell you a secret? Do you want to live a long life here on earth? Do you want everything to go well for you? Then honor, value, and respect your father and your mother. See, I have made my own observations. I've watched and noticed many things. And here's my conclusion. Mothers are the most remarkable of all people. Of course, we did not choose our own mothers. God chose them for us. God determined the womb that we would grow in. He selected the body that we would develop in, and He ordained the circumstances of our own physical birth. Listen to these beautiful words from Job chapter 10. It says, "Your hands shaped me and made me. Remember that you molded me like clay. You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit." And David in Psalm 139 continues these thoughts by saying, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." And I'm, of course, looking out on the sea of faces this morning. You are the works of God. David said, "Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body." God made us. God chose us, fashioned us, formed us, shaped us, loved us. So whatever the circumstances of your birth, God chose you. You exist because He planned for you to be there. He dreamed you. You are not an accident. You are God's masterpiece, His creation, His prize, His child. You belong to Him. You belong to Him twice. Firstly, through creation. And then secondly, through redemption. 1 John 3 verse 1 proclaims, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." No, this is not the Queen Elizabeth of England. This is Margaret Elizabeth Moseley, and she is my mum. Is there any likeness? And I was privileged to have this woman as my mother. She is the first of six children, and she was born in the year 1940, makes her 72 years old, or 72 years young this year. She has lots of energy, and that depiction of her with a smile is good. That's just what she's like. My mum gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as a young teenager, and that decision affected her life and obviously has affected the generations that have come after her. She gave birth to three boys. I'm the middle one. And she's just a wonderful woman. The most difficult telephone call I had to make when I realized that I was coming here to Piedmont Park and not going back to the UK to minister. It's a pretty tough phone call when your mother has already lost two sons to the United States. My younger brother's in Florida, my older brother's in my younger brother's in California, my older brother's in Florida. So to call my mum and say that I'm coming to stay in the States as well was a pretty tough call to make. But there she is. She was happy for me. She's happy that we as a family are serving the Lord. And she's just a great woman. And the lady sang that beautiful song that someone is praying for you. And this woman never stopped praying for me all the way through my life. And I'm convinced that God rearranged circumstances because of this mother's prayers. And so I wish she was here in the audience, but she'll get the disc. I'll send it back home. And so that's my mum there. Commonly, she is known as Auntie Meg or Meg. Here's another remarkable woman. This is my second mother. This is my mother-in-law. Her name is Joan, Esther, Minnie, Rich. And she is also a very special, generous, a warm-hearted person. There's an expression in England that some people have a heart of gold. Well, that describes my mother-in-law very nicely. She's very generous, very kind, and she also is a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. But there is one woman from the United Kingdom that kind of tops them all for me as far as the motherhood stakes go. And so as Pastor Michael puts plenty of pictures up of his family, I thought today would be a good opportunity for me to put one up of my English Rose as well. And so Cheryl, I appreciate all you do for our family and for our kids. You are indeed a model mother. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verse 27. Thank you very much, Jeanette, for reading that so nicely for us. There's a lot packed in, as there always is in the Bible, to this one verse. And so turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 27. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Setting the scene in the Gospel of Luke, there's a couple of chapters here where Jesus is teaching the crowds that, as we read in verse 29, are increasingly increasing. And as he was teaching, someone had the audacity to interrupt him. And so verse 27 says, "As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, 'Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you.'" Jesus is teaching and the crowds are listening, and suddenly, abruptly, he of all people is interrupted. Now mothers, you know what that's like, don't you? You know what that's like to have interruptions in the family. But this is what the woman said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. The meaning of this blessing is crystal clear. She is simply saying, blessed is your mother. Blessed is Mary. But the question has to be asked, why such a spontaneous exclamation, such an extravagant compliment, such an exuberant response, such an enthusiastic sentiment? Well, Darrell Bock, in his exhaustive two-volume commentary on the Gospel of Luke, writing on this particular passage, says these words. The statement of this woman would have been a brave one in a mixed audience where women were generally expected to be silent. The remark is an expression of or acceptance of his ministry, since back then a mother was valued in the accomplishments of her son. And so, whilst truly aiming to honor women on this Mother's Day weekend, I wish to gently but firmly make two salient points regarding Luke's text and Bock's statement. Point number one. Sadly, there are still some among us who think that women should be silent. Silent in church. Misunderstanding and twisting scriptures like 1 Timothy 2, chapter 12 from their clear historical, cultural, and linguistic context, some among us today still advocate for the position that women should be silent in church. In my humble opinion, this is unfortunate, and I would venture to say unbiblical. Friends, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have never built our theology, our beliefs, and our doctrines on an odd text here and an odd text there. In fact, to the contrary, we have done just the opposite. So why are there those amongst us attempting to do exactly this in this particular area? Brothers and sisters, to be consistent in one's belief in this area would mean that the church would have to pull the plug on all female Sabbath school teachers that serve in either adult or children's divisions, all female platform participants, all deaconesses and female elders, indeed, all women in any positions of public ministry. Additionally, the ministry of the gift of prophecy within our own denomination, as exhibited in the life and the writings of Ellen White, must also inevitably be put aside. Was this mother and messenger in Israel not used in a mighty way by God to guide and instruct this denomination? Indeed, all who would listen to her and interpret her writings correctly. By the way, did you know that the current population of the female seminary students at Andrews University is between 15 to 20%? 15 to 20%? Have they all got their calling wrong? And we're also faced with in the North American division in particular, with an aging ministry. In fact, I read a statistic this week that said that up to 50% of pastors in the North American division will be coming up for retirement age within the next 10 years. So if there's anybody thinking of going into ministry, now would be a good time to go and train and to find work. Friends, I must say it is both my observation and my conviction that God is increasingly using women in ministry. Why so? Why so? It's my observation that it's mainly because many men are just not stepping up to the plate. Did not the Lord clearly say through the prophet Joel that in the last days his spirit would be poured out upon all people, both sons and daughters, men and women? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The Bible teaches that spiritual gifts are for spiritual people and are in no way gender specific or gender restricted. Point number two. And regrettably, there are still those among us who think that young kids should somehow all be silent in church also. And I submit to you that this is also most unfortunate. May I respectfully say, in a UK way, please get real. This view is often held by either those who have never had kids or have long forgotten what babies and toddlers are naturally like. Mothers who bring their little ones to church must be welcomed and not shushed. Let's encourage all of our mothers, young and old, to stay in the church and not to leave the church. Surely all must be welcome here in this place. Yes, we need to educate our kids and our young people in worship, teaching them how to respect God, how to have reverence for Him, how to listen for His voice. But I appeal to all of you, let us do this in the spirit of Jesus and not in the spirit of harshness or coldness. Do you remember the response of Jesus to His own disciples when they rebuked those mothers who brought their kids to Him to have Him bless them? Mark's Gospel records that Jesus was indignant. He was incensed and outraged at His own disciples' course of action. It made Him angry, and He was extremely displeased. So I say to the mothers of little ones, and we have many in our congregation who are expecting babies, apologies. Please keep bringing yourselves and your precious young children to our church services, for all are welcome here. Let the shushers themselves be shushed. And may we all learn to be kind and considerate and gentle with one another. Luke 11, verse 27. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. So just why was it that Mary was blessed? Was it because of this exclamation has us realize that Mary was just blessed to have this son? She was, of course, his physical mother. Or was it because of the spiritual connection that Mary had with her son, because she trusted him as her savior? Well, again, it's a false dichotomy, isn't it? Of course, it's both. So in concluding here, what things can we all learn from the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she is portrayed in the scriptures? I have five things that I discovered whilst preparing for this week and recommend to you. Let's see if we can learn these five things from Mary. First of all, the scriptures tell us that Mary was a person of great faith, humility, and obedience. God was with Mary, and she was highly favored by Him. Think about this. God chose her as His own mother. Oh, the wonder and the mystery of the incarnation. Just think about it. God, in his love, became one like us. Indeed, the story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. And in replying to the angel that announced the news of her upcoming, and perhaps from a human standpoint, highly inconvenient pregnancy, Mary spoke these words. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." Can you catch the humble submissiveness in that statement? For Mary was a person of great faith, humility, and obedience. Mary also knew how to selflessly praise and glorify God. Luke 1, verses 46 to 50 records these words, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.'" Yes, Mary knew how to selflessly praise and glorify God. Point number three, Mary thought deeply about her life, her circumstances, and her God. Luke 2:19 records these words after the visit of the shepherds, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them, thought about them in her heart." And a similar text is revealed later on in that chapter after the visit to Jerusalem. "But his mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart." Yes, Mary thought deeply about her life, her circumstances, and her God. That's worth imitating. Point number four. Mary was found at the cross. At the cross, where the nails pierced the hands and the feet of her own beloved son, and where the prophesied sword pierced her own heart and soul also. It was there at the cross that Mary accepted the home and the hospitality of a brand new family, and that Jesus himself, in taking care of his mother, entrusted her to his best and most beloved disciple, John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home, and surely he was blessed by having her there. Finally, point number five. Mary has given us, in almost the last recorded words that we hear from her in the scripture, an inspired phrase to live our lives by. And it's this in particular that I want you to listen to and catch this morning. It comes from the narrative where there's a crisis in the wedding in Cana in Galilee, and they've run out of water, and Mary wants Jesus to perform a miracle. And she says to the servants, this is the last recorded words of Mary in the gospel. "His mother Mary said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Say that with me. "Do whatever he tells you." His mother Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you. One day, a woman called out in the crowd to Jesus, "Blessed is your mother." And this was Jesus' response. Luke 11:28. He said, "Yes, but additionally, blessed rather are those like my mother Mary who hear the word of God and obey it, who keep it, who guard it, who observe it, and who follow it." So according to that wide criteria, is your life being blessed this morning, this past week, this next week? Will you listen to whatever he tells you? Mothers, and one and all, let's follow the example of Mary as she followed closely her son. Mothers, we thank you. Mothers, we honor you. Mothers, we are indebted to you. Mothers, we love you. You are a tremendous gift to us from God. And God, our Heavenly Father, who sees all that you go through and all that you do, he will surely reward you for your love. Let us all continue to raise up and nurture and encourage and build solid relationships with our kids for him and for his sake. For gifting us with mothers, and behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should all be called the children of God. May we live up to that title today and this week, and bless each person here present, and may this weekend be the new beginning of honoring the mothers amongst us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.